Well, good morning and welcome. I'm glad to see each one of you here this morning. I welcome you in the strong name of Jesus. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping along with us via live stream. Psalms 106:48, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting, and let the people say amen. Praise the Lord this morning. That's what we're here to do. Praise God. Because we are so privileged to be able to freely come and worship God this morning, the one true living God. Thank God this morning for all that He has done for you and that He will continue to do for you. Praise Him in good times. Praise Him in bad times. He never changes. He is our immovable rock, unmovable rock. Just praise Him this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Almighty God, giver of life and freedom, we worship You. We honor Your holy name. You have given Your best for us. And we praise You for Your sacrifice that You made for us, sending Jesus to the cross. As we worship You this morning, just come and commune with us. Fill us, change us, empower us. Let our lives shine for You. Let us show the world what is in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. We're going to take our offering during this first song. It goes to benefit the Bonesville area Mennonite Sewing Circle, and the kids can also come forward to my counselor.
Okay, let us pray. So, Father, we just turn to you this morning and we just ask you, guide each one of us in our day. Whatever it is that we need to be doing for you, you show us, guide us, direct us, put it on our hearts exactly what it is that we need to be doing in any way that we can help the people around us, in any way that we can help others. You show us, guide us, direct us, fill our hearts with your love that we can give that to the people around us, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Truth in my heart.
breath of life that you give us, but also for your blood, which is just as important for having life and giving life, and your blood is so essential for giving us eternal life because it covers our sins. That our blood is part of our sinful body, and so it's not perfect, but that you would, though our lips are unclean, you would come and touch them and refine them, make them something that you can use to have a difference here in our communities, but have an eternal difference in the lives of the people that we meet. Just pray that you would open up our hearts to hear what Tony has to share. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. When you come over here. This side, guys. Over here this time. So good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Do you have more energy than last Sunday?
Yes.
Yes. No. Maybe. Oh, some of you are too still sleeping. So, did you guys figure out how many legs this elephant had from last Sunday?
That makes no sense. It doesn't have any.
Does it? What? Well, maybe. See, this is the only one that I see that's actually connected to anything. So it has one, and a bunch of feet. So you didn't figure it out yet. Okay, well. So what job did David have in the Bible before he became king? He was a shepherd. David was a shepherd before he became king. He was out in the field watching over his father's sheep. Right? He protected them from lions and bears and anything else that would want to attack them. He went and he actually killed the bear and the lion because God was with him and protecting him and watching over him. He went to save the sheep. See, there's a lot of dangers for sheep because sheep are pretty weak and they're not very smart. They get themselves into trouble all the time. Shepherds, they would take their sheep and they would have them out in a nice big green pasture so they could eat and get fat and strong and grow plenty of wool. But then in the evenings, they would take them to a sheep pen where they would take them and walk ahead of them and lead them all in there because the sheep would follow the shepherd because they knew the shepherd's voice. And those sheep pens would be made out of rocks or sticks or maybe even in a cave where they could kind of block the entrance off. Well, you see how narrow that entrance is there? What the shepherd would do is he would lead his sheep in and then he would sit in the entrance so that nothing could get in or out because he was there watching over his sheep. Some sheep pens may have had gates or an extra pile of rocks you could have piled there to close in the gate so the shepherd wouldn't have to stay there. But most of the times, the shepherd sat there and watched over his sheep because he cared for them. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that he is the good shepherd. So Jesus is the good shepherd. And that he is the gate for the sheep. Right? Because we often get into trouble as sheep, right? We get into trouble because, you know, we're not very smart and we do dumb things sometimes. But Jesus, he leads us. Just like a shepherd leads his sheep, he leads us. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts, we get to enter into his sheep pen. And he watches over us and he sits in the gate. See, look, Jesus is leading sheep right now in that picture. Boy, it kind of looks like people, doesn't it? Yeah. See, we are like sheep. And when Jesus is our Savior and he is sitting in the gate watching over us, the enemy cannot get to us because we know he is watching out for us and he protects us and takes care of us. So you guys have been good listeners this morning. I'm going to pray over you guys, and then you may have a snack and go back to your seats, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for watching out for us, for keeping us safe like a shepherd watches out for his sheep. Bless these children this morning. Help them to know you and have a relationship with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, snacks down there in the bag. Good morning again. Just thank you for your prayers for my family and myself this week. They are appreciated very much, and they are what carry us through each day. So I have an announcement for you. Starting in the first Friday of February, Elevate would like to provide a meal and snacks free of charge to the kids that come out. So if you have any interest in maybe buying some snacks for that or providing a meal so the kids have something good and hot to eat, please see Todd Weber or Glenn Zimmerman, and they will get you more information how to help out and what the needs are. So I just want to make you aware of that. So we're continuing our sermon series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And again, our umbrella verse for our series is Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. What is in our heart shows to everyone. Everyone sees what is in here. And we're going to look at Matthew 7:13-23 this morning. And we're going to be looking at entering the kingdom. That's Matthew 7:13-23. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire so that you will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. So there's a lot in there. There's a lot to dig into. The wide gate. This is what the world screams at us all the time. And it's opposite of what God's standards are. Power, wealth, pleasure, happiness. Do what feels good. Don't offend anybody. Make sure you accept everyone. The lure of the flashing lights of this world, the wide gate, it tries to get our attention and it promises false fulfillment. More money will bring happiness. If I can get more power and pleasure because I have more money, that's what I'm going to strive after. Power can get me influence, and if I have influence, then I can get more money and more pleasure. Enjoy life. Be whatever you want to be. Do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. You deserve to be comfortable and spend years just relaxing, doing only what you want to do. This is all there is in this life, this pursuit of pleasure and happiness and doing whatever you want. You're born, you live for yourself, and then you die. And maybe you repeat it. Well, I guess depending what you believe, sure, why not? Make sure you don't put other people down because they're doing what feels good. Make sure you don't put them down and tell them that they're doing something wrong. When we get bombarded with this message from every angle all the time, and it's really loud. Something catches your eye and it just draws you in. All the while you're being lied to so that you can continue down that path because that's all you know. That's all you've ever known. Because if I get more money, more power, and more pleasure, my life is going to be better. My life will be easy and people will like me. You just keep going around in this vicious cycle over and over again, wanting more and not being fulfilled and wanting more and still not being fulfilled. If I get more, I'll be happy. If I get more, that'll make my life complete. And after your life is over, what did you gain? You gained exactly what the enemy wanted you to have, an eternal separation from God. See, the promise of all this stuff that the world has to offer is to keep us distracted from the real reason we are here. It's to keep us moving towards that wide gate. But the real reason we're here on earth is to go through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is a relationship with Jesus, having Him as Lord and Savior of our lives, following Him every day that we have here on this earth. The thing that everyone on the other path claims is that God doesn't want us to enjoy life and have any fun. God says no to everything, right? That's not at all what God tells us. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can't have nice things and enjoy life and be happy and have fun, and it doesn't say that. But when you have Christ in your heart as Lord, our focus changes. Our perspective is different. We get a clear view of actually who we are. We can finally see how God has made us and His purpose for us. The narrow gate and the path that lies beyond that are difficult at times. We're told in here that it is not going to be easy. We will face difficulties and tests and trials. But that narrow gate is entered when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, laying down all the stuff that we're holding on to from this world. That's why that gate is narrow. Only we can fit through it. All that extra stuff that we're carrying doesn't fit through. We lay all that stuff down at the feet of Jesus and our hearts become changed. And this is the start of the journey that is ahead of us. Laying down what we want and picking up what God wants for us. The path that lies in front of us is winding, and there are obstacles in it. Many people go past the gate and they never see it. They're so focused on what the world is screaming at them that they go right past the gate without even noticing it's there. They keep on their highway that leads to destruction through the wide gate. The next person might see it and look at it, but then they keep going the way they are because they perceive that they can't be happy with a relationship with Jesus, that they can't get what they want with a relationship with Jesus. And there's still other people who go through that gate and accept Christ as their Savior, and they're on that narrow path towards Christ. And they get to that first curve that turns them towards the world, and they go, boy, that really looks good over there. I want to pursue that. And they leave the path that they were on. Enticed, they go back to the path they had been on that leads to destruction. The enemy does this. He shows us all these things that you're missing out on and you could be doing. But see, God in His wisdom has made a path for us that is better. It's better for us than anything the world could offer us. And God in His wisdom has made a way for us to get back onto that path. It's called repentance and forgiveness. Those of us who have strayed off the path or stumbled over a rock, God is there waiting for us to come back to Him. He'll pick us up and get us started back on that narrow path again. We just need to ask Him for forgiveness and believe that He has given it to us. So on our journey, how do we know what path we're supposed to be on? What direction we're supposed to take? Because we have so many. How many of you have ever played the game Oregon Trail? How many of you have ever gotten to the end of it? I don't see any hands. It's a common theme. So you get to play the role of a wagon leader and guide your group of settlers from Independence, Missouri to Willamette Valley in Oregon. And you're traveling along the Oregon Trail set in 1848. So in the beginning, you have to go to the store and choose your supplies and all the things you're going to need. But if you choose wrong, it'll hurt you later on in the game because you won't have any money. So each choice makes a difference. Each choice has a consequence. Do you cross the river? Do you wait? But if I wait too long, then I won't have any food. I won't have any money. What do you do? I don't think I've ever made it to the end of that game. I've played it a lot, especially in school. I think there's more than 10 ways that you can die in there. Dysentery is a very popular one. Get that green screen there that you didn't make it to the end, or everything washed away in a river and you have nothing left. We're faced with the same choices in our lives. We have choices, and there's consequences to those choices. Some are simple, some are very complex. We're faced with choices that can bring us life and death. They might not be physical choices all the time, but there's definitely spiritual choices. Spiritual choices that can bring us life and death. So what path are we going to take? Well, God shows us in His Word. He speaks to us. He tells us which way to go. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks through other people who are following Christ, which way we should go. He gives us reassurance. He leads us. But even when we're on the right path, we need to be aware. Jesus tells us to be on the lookout for false prophets, looking the part, yet their heart is death. He gives the example of a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. Boy, if you saw a whole flock of sheep, do you think you could pick that out? That means that even when we're following Christ, we need to be on guard, be aware so that we're not deceived. Because from the beginning, that's what Satan does. That's his main trick, is to deceive. He did it in the garden, and he has done it throughout history. He likes to deceive people. So how are we able to tell what path someone else is on? Jesus goes on to talk about the fruit that we produce in our life. We have to look at the tree. If it's an orange tree, it better have oranges on it, right? But then we need to go further. What's inside the fruit? And we have to do this with people. We have to look and investigate. What are they saying? What's the hidden meaning there? What's going on in their lives? Because that fruit looks good on the outside, but it's rotten in the middle. Are we putting on a show for other people? Or is our heart truly focused on Jesus and the life that He wants us to live? There are those who serve God with their own agenda and not God's will. And this is kind of where it gets messy for us as the church, because there's a lot of churches that preach messages that look like the wide gate, claiming to be the narrow one. And there are churches that look like the narrow gate. They look like the right path, but what is in their heart is the wide gate. Looks like that fruit. And the difference is so subtle, sometimes you can't even tell what the difference is. And this is where we need to ask God for discernment and wisdom, asking God to give us guidance and direction. Second Timothy 2:14-22. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to ruin of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Avoid irreverent, empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness. And their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are ruining the faith for some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription: The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but those of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a sacrificial instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We are to live lives that show what is in our hearts. We're supposed to be transparent so people can see what is going on in here. How we interact with others reveals what is in here. There are those who teach things that seem good yet are not. They're not biblically based. That means we have to know what is in God's Word so we can know if what someone says is in here or not. These verses talk about gangrene, and that happens when the body starts dying because of the lack of blood flow or infection. It spreads and it can cause death. And we can easily see the spiritual equivalent to this when feelings, experiences, or traditions are pursued over a true, deep relationship with Jesus. And we can easily get caught up in that stuff that looks like it comes from God and from the Bible until you dig into it and dig deeper and see what God really says about it. Now let me clarify a little bit. Feelings and experiences with God are good. They're wonderful. Yet they must not be the object of our worship. Our worship must be God alone. Traditions, they can be good or they can be bad. But we must not worship tradition. We must worship God alone. When our focus is not on God, the spiritual blood stops flowing and disease and sickness starts setting in. When we're not continually coming to God and seeking Him and digging in, we become like that rotten fruit in the middle. We look good on the outside, but we're dying on the inside. Back to Matthew 7, 22 to 23. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. But these two verses definitely give us a powerful warning to be aware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. Just look at what they did. They prophesied. There was miracles. They drove out demons. Yet, it comes down to what was in their heart. Jesus says the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is to do the will of the Father. See, the enemy likes to sneak in things that look authentic. And he likes to twist them and just turn them a little bit so we become deceived. But when we scrutinize God's word and look at it and look at what someone says, we can say, yes, this is from God, or no, this is not from God. Some people may even take this and change the wording in it to fit their own narrative. And many people will be led astray because they believe they're following God and His will and what He has for them. And there'll be a day when they find out very harshly when Jesus says, away from me, I never knew you. If we're following God, truly following Him with our whole heart, we will spend eternity with Him. If we're not, there's separation there for eternity. So in closing, when we pray and when we worship God, in everything that we do, we need to be aware of what our heart is. Are we following the narrow path? Or are we being led astray? Are we pursuing things because they feel good? Are we choosing the right path that God wants us to be on? Or are we being enticed and led astray? Are we being led astray by the world, by the enemy? So what is truly in our hearts, it comes out of us. It shows. Do we look good on the outside but are rotten in the middle? Or do we truly have a faith that just pours out of us? To enter the kingdom of heaven, it starts with faith. Faith in Christ. And then it continues with a life following the narrow path that God has for us. And we need to continually choose to follow God each day. Each day we're faced with choices, some small, some large, but we're faced with choices every day. We need to be aware of the traps and pitfalls that are along the way, things that we're susceptible to. So what is the condition of our heart? What is the condition of our heart this morning? Do others see us the way God sees us? Are our hearts after Him? What is the condition of your heart? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, give us a pure heart that only wants to seek You. Make us aware of false teaching. If we're following the wrong path, reveal it to us. Show us. Open our eyes to Your truth so that we don't become deceived by the enemy and separated from You. Grow us spiritually. Fill us with Your Spirit. Just help us on this journey of life along the narrow path. Keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our souls focused on You. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
And I just want to make an announcement this morning. This evening, we'll have the Unity of Faith prayer time. It's just a time of prayer with, I think it will be five different churches this evening. It will be down here at St. Paul's by the park. It starts at 7, ends right around 8 o'clock. If you have time, please stop out. It'd be great to see you there. Like I said, it'll just be a time of prayer. It's about an hour long, and there should be five different congregations coming together for that. And I also want to let you know the last Sunday of this month, we'll be having the Unity of, I'm going to say the same thing. We're going to have the Holy Spirit Fellowship evening. That is the same Sunday or the same weekend that the men's retreat will be happening, so I won't be here that Sunday, but we will still be having that, the Holy Spirit Fellowship time that Sunday evening. So come on for that as well. That starts at 6:30.
Thank you, Brian. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.